So welcome to our reflection this evening, which is on the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And we're going to start by looking at Psalm 92. Psalm 92 is the only psalm in the Old Testament which has actually got as its heading for the Sabbath day. So I thought that would be a good sign for us to look at. So why don't you stand up, energize yourselves, and let's read this together. Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by a 10-stringed instrument, a harp, and the melody of a lyre. You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. I sing for joy because of what you have done. O Lord, what great works you do, and how deep are your thoughts. Only a simpleton would not know, and only a fool would not understand this. Though the wicked sprout like weeds and evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, O Lord, will be exalted forever. Your enemies, Lord, will surely perish. All evildoers will be scattered. But you have made me as strong as a wild ox. You have anointed me with the finest oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the defeat of my wicked opponents. But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, "The Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him." Thank you. Please sit down. So that psalm reminds us, or calls us, to praise God for all he has done, to give thanks to him. And I thought we would start by listening to a piece of music by John Rutter. And it's a setting of All Things Bright and Beautiful. And it just reminds us of all the different things that God has created and the beauty of our world. So let's listen together to All Things Bright and Beautiful. Thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for all that you have made. We thank you for your wonderful creation. We thank you, Lord, for all the good things you've poured out on us. And we pray that you would help us now as we turn to your word and think about your commandments to us. For your name's sake, amen. So, remember the Sabbath day. We're going to start by doing a little brainstorm, well, that sort of thing. So, what words come to mind when you think about Sunday observance of the Sabbath day? What words come to mind?
Rest.
Sorry?
Shopping.
Did you say shopping?
Yeah, good. Just checking I've heard it correctly.
Family.
Saving.
Did you say saviour?
Saving.
Saving. Anything else? How about how do you feel? How do you feel about Sunday when people talk about, you know, Sundays and or Sunday observance? How do you feel?
Worship.
Sorry?
Worship.
Worship? Do you wake up feeling fantastic at Sunday? Maybe you do. Okay. It's interesting to see what different words people come up with at lunchtime. In fact, we can have a look at lunchtime words. We had day of rest, the Lord, walking, church service. We had not eating, hypocrisy, boring, hard work, and legalism. So there's a whole range of words there that come to people's mind when we think about Sunday observance. So we're going to read, or I'm going to read to you, the command as it comes twice in the Old Testament. So this is how it reads in Exodus chapter 20. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest, dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. And then if we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5, the commandments are repeated. And we have the same command, but we're given a different reason. So we read in Deuteronomy, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out with his strong hand and powerful arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to rest on the Sabbath day. So the same commandment, but two different reasons. I have to confess, I have a problem with this fourth commandment. I was brought up in a very strict Christian community where Sunday observance seemed to consist of a set of rules designed to make my life miserable, boring and difficult. It was an embarrassment when talking to friends at school. The minutes seemed like hours, and I found it very hard to equate this to a God who was supposed to love me. I appreciate that this was my perspective as a child, and children aren't always right, but it was so powerful that it has stuck to me ever since. And I have a lot of negative emotions associated with the idea of the Sabbath. Perhaps you can identify with me. Or perhaps you were not brought up in a Christian environment or such a strict environment. Maybe the whole idea of making one day a week different to the others seems archaic or silly or impossible. This is why when Johnny asked for volunteers for these talks, I decided to give myself the challenge of trying to get to grips with what this Sabbath commandment is really about. As I started to study the Bible and the passages about the Sabbath, I discovered I had a much bigger problem. Unlike the other 9 commandments, there is considerable debate and discussion among theologians about whether or not the Sabbath day commandment actually applies to us as New Testament, mostly Gentile believers. We would probably all agree that putting God first or not killing other people are commandments that make sense for all people at all times. The content, if you like, of the other 9 commandments fit with what we might sort of call a moral code. But you can argue that this 4th commandment, at least from one perspective, seems to apply only to the Jewish people. It was given as a sign of God's covenant with them. It was a mark to other nations that the Jewish people were different and distinct, set apart for God. In Exodus 31 we read, "You must observe my Sabbaths. They will be a sign between you and me for the generations to come." The Sabbath, as we shall see in more detail later, looked back to God's creation and to the deliverance of the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. It was therefore a celebration of God's rescue for his people, not immediately relevant for the rest of mankind. It wouldn't have made sense, for example, for the Egyptians to celebrate the Sabbath as a reminder of God's deliverance of the Israelites from their land. In addition, almost none of us are Jewish by ethnicity. We do not keep Jewish culture and customs, and we do not keep the Sabbath day. Most of us probably assume that Sunday and keeping Sunday special is the New Testament equivalent to the Jewish Sabbath. But there is actually very little evidence that these two equate. These are big questions, which, as you can imagine, have been debated, argued, and written about by many theologians. They have certainly given me a headache. We don't have the time, or me the ability, to unpack it all here. But I do think it's important to acknowledge that this commandment is not as easy to interpret as the others, and we need to be careful not to judge others who may view this Sabbath commandment differently to ourselves. My personal understanding of all I have read and studied is that when Jesus came to this earth, through his death and resurrection, he ushered in a new relationship with God. His coming marked the start of the kingdom of God to earth in a new way. Jesus himself said, "Come to me and I will give you rest. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." The rest, therefore, that the Sabbath points to in the Old Testament has been fulfilled in the coming of Jesus. We can each know rest in him. And through the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have the presence of God dwelling within us day by day. As one author put it, the Sabbath day remembrance has turned into a Sabbath lifestyle, a day by day rest in God. So is it the case that this 4th commandment no longer applies to us as New Testament Christians? Do we just dismiss it? If we turn to the New Testament to help us understand this dilemma, it is surprising how little Sabbath observant is mentioned. In Matthew 12, Jesus described himself as Lord of the Sabbath and challenged the legalistic approach of the Pharisees. Jesus, quite deliberately it seemed, performed several miracles on the Sabbath to demonstrate that it was lawful to do good on the Sabbath. In the book of Mark, Jesus tells the Jews that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. But Jesus does not give his disciples any further instruction or teaching about it. If we turn to the teaching of Paul, he was often found in the synagogue on the Sabbath, but he rarely taught about Sabbath observance as such. In fact, in 2 Colossians, he declares, "Do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ." It's Colossians 2. Paul is reminding his readers that the Old Testament covenant, of which the Sabbath was a sign, has been fulfilled in Jesus. And by implication, the Sabbath sign is no longer necessary. I would therefore suggest that there is no imperative or obligation for us as Western Gentile Christians to keep Sunday as a Sabbath day in the sense implied in the Old Testament. We cannot just apply the Sabbath rules to the Christian Sunday. But does this mean we just discard it? Absolutely not. Instead, we need to look behind the commandment and get to grips with what it's about. What is the Sabbath principle telling us about God and about our relationship to him? In his commentary on the book of Exodus, Alec Mateer says, "The Sabbath commandment is concerned with how life as a whole is to be ordered under God." An exploration of what that Sabbath day looked like to the Jewish people can perhaps provide us with some clear principles that we can apply today. So, what is behind the commandment to remember the Sabbath day? Well, the most surprising thing I have discovered in my study over these past few weeks is that the Sabbath was seen as a gift from God. It was to be a blessing. Exodus 20, verse 11, "The Lord blessed the Sabbath day." In Isaiah 58, God gives them a promise, "If you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, then you will find your joy in the Lord." It's a blessed day, not a day to be weighed down by do's and don'ts. I don't know about you, but I long for God's blessing. So the idea that the Sabbath is a blessing from God for me made me sit up and take notice. The second thing I discovered is that it's a day of celebration. In Exodus 20, God gives Moses a reason for this fourth commandment, and that is that it follows God's work of creation. In 6 days, God made the heavens and earth and rested on the seventh. This has led many people to suggest that the main reason for the Sabbath was to give the people of Israel a rest, because God seemed to need a rest after his work of creation. But God is almighty. God is omnipotent. He didn't need to rest because he had overdone it, or worked too hard, or his body worn out. If we go back to Genesis 1, it tells us, "The heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good." The rest here is one of celebration. It is finished. The creation is completed. It was God seeing his work as very good and rejoicing in it. John Piper puts it this way, "The mighty hand and the outstretched arm of God were not wearied by the work of creation. They are full of strength. God's rest was not for recuperation, but for exaltation." The Sabbath then is also a foretaste of that final rest, that completion, which we will have as God's people in heaven. So it's a gift from God. It's a day of celebration. It was also a day to remember. It's interesting that when the Ten Commandments are repeated in Deuteronomy 5, God gives a different reason for keeping the Sabbath day holy. He says the people of Israel to remember that they were once slaves in Egypt and God had rescued them. So he was not only their creator God, but their deliverer. So it gave them and us an opportunity, not just to celebrate God as creator and sustainer, but to remember and rejoice that he's our deliverer, our redeemer, our savior. It reminded the people of their dependence on God. We are totally reliant on God's grace. John Piper again. "God designed that we work, but our work neither creates, nor saves, nor sanctifies. For these we depend on the blessing of God. All things are from him and through him and to him. Lest we ever forget this and begin to take our strength and thought and work too seriously, we should keep one day in seven to cease from our labours and focus on God as the source of all blessing. Fourthly, it was a day of rest. Despite what I said about God not needing a rest, it was a day of rest for the people of Israel. It was a day of rest for everyone in the household, the sons, the daughters, the servants, the animals, and the aliens, as Exodus puts it. Having come out of Egypt as slaves and presumably working very hard every day, the concept of having a day with no work every week must have been amazing. And the Sabbath, it seems to me, provided them and can provide us with a rhythm to life. As humans, God designed us to need rest and refreshment at every level, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and intellectually. As a therapist, I am all too aware that to ignore our need for downtime, to push ourselves continually without any room to pause, builds up trouble. No one can be productive 24/7 without a break. There's an interesting author called Mark Buchanan who writes a lot about God's rest, and this is what he says. The Sabbath is essential to our full humanity and faith. God set forth a rhythm of work and rest that, if restored to our lives, will bring prolonged life, enriched relationships, increased fruitfulness, and abundant joy. And fifthly, it was a day for community. It wasn't a day for isolation, but of coming together in family, in community. For Jewish people today who keep the Sabbath, it's a day when families meet, they eat and enjoy being together. And the importance of community is highlighted for us in Hebrews. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So it was a day to be in community. Another author I was reading says this: you amplify God's praise by congregating together and singing together and hearing testimony with others of what God has been doing in your midst. The Sabbath was the day for gathering and joining your voices with others. It was a day for corporate worship in a sacred assembly. One of the reasons, isn't it, why lockdown is so hard for us as a church community. It's very hard to find that same sense of community. So, we've seen that in the Old Testament, it was a gift from God. It was a day of celebration, a day to remember, a day of rest, and a day for community. We can summarize these, can't we, by saying it's a day for God. It was to be a Sabbath to the Lord your God, a day to retune, to recenter, to refocus their hearts and our hearts towards God. A day to look back at what God had done and a day to look forward to God's future dwelling. It was a day for worship. I think this was summed up very nicely by this quote: Sabbath is more than a day off. It is a turning of the entire being toward God, a time set apart to contemplate life and work and praise the Creator for it all. The Christian observance of Sabbath is set apart by its lack of rules. There is no strict way to keep Sabbath in Christianity. It's not a must of our faith. And yet, to ignore this fourth commandment is to miss some of God's richest blessings for his people. So what does all this mean for us today? How do we take these observations and apply them to our own lives? What do these thoughts on the Sabbath mean for our Christian Sundays? I've got three brief points. Firstly, the negative. Don't judge how others spend their Sundays. There is no room for legalistic or judgmental attitudes to others or indeed to ourselves. Applying the Sabbath principle will look different for different people and perhaps at different seasons in our own lives. Pastors and church leaders have to find a different rhythm. Many have a different day of the week, which they call their Sabbath. If you turn the Christian Sunday into a set of do's and don'ts, you're falling back into trying to please God by what you do, to earn his favour by your obedience. Secondly, I think it's really important that we acknowledge the rhythm of life. You need to find that rhythm in your life. To be, not just to do. To engage with activities that regenerate, refresh, and renew you, spiritually, but also physically, emotionally, and intellectually. And what those activities will vary depending on who you are, depending on your family situation, and so on. But find the rhythm of life for you and for your family at this time. But most of all, guard this precious gift. Set aside a protective time of worship, a time to remind ourselves of our dependence on God, of our need for him, of his wonderful salvation and his amazing plan of redemption. A time to recognize our humanity before him and to rejoice in his love that he has brought us back into relationship with him. And I believe such worship needs to be in community with God's people, not just by ourselves. So those are my three points. Don't judge, find your rhythm, and guard this gift as precious. So what does this mean for my story? I started this reflection by sharing my dilemma and negative feelings towards the Sabbath day and this fourth commandment. I'm very aware that my understanding and what I have shared with you is not the final or definitive view, and we each need to search our own hearts before God. But I have experienced quite a significant shift. I feel I can let go of the guilt and the tension I so often feel about Sundays. I have begun to move away from focusing on the do's and the don'ts and the should and the shouldn'ts, and I am aware of a sense of excitement that God wants to bless me as I keep retuning my heart to him. This final quote summarizes some of my journey, and I pray it will perhaps inspire you in your thinking about the Sabbath too. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes this author, I began setting aside large blocks of time for Sabbath rest. Over some years, I grew into a practice of keeping a regular Sabbath day to pray and to play, a day of rest. A day to humble me with the reminder of my limitations. A day to slow my pace and cease my drive to produce. A day to find my identity outside of what I accomplish. A day to find enjoyment not in what I do, but simply in being myself with God, his creation, and his people, especially my family. Let's pause for a moment and be quiet. We're going to say a prayer together, which brings, I hope, some of the thoughts that I've shared with you into a prayer. So let's say this together. Dear Father God, thank you that your heart is to bless us. We celebrate your gift of creation and all that you provide for us. We acknowledge our dependence on your goodness and grace. We praise you that by trusting in Jesus, we can know rest in your presence every moment of our day. We ask your forgiveness for the times we put our trust in our own efforts and act as if we were in charge. We are sorry when we define both ourselves and others by what we achieve rather than who we are in you. We confess that sometimes we get so busy, we forget to listen to your voice. Lord, you made us and know that we need the rhythm of rest as well as work in our lives. We thank you for the gift of Sabbath rest. Thank you that it is not a burden, but an expression of love, not a demand of the law. We thank you, Lord, for this rhythm of rest in our life of work. We hear your heartbeat when we are quiet and we listen. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We're going to finish with a song which just, I think, sums up that our dependence on our Lord Jesus and the rest that he brings. So, yes.
Oh God, how I need.
Yes, Lord, we come and acknowledge that we need you. Every hour, every moment, we need you. But we thank you, Lord, that you give us abundantly more we can ask or think. And that as we come to you in our dependence and just cry out to you, Lord, you want to bless us. You want to give us good things. You want to fill us with your love, whatever we're facing. And we thank you, Lord, that you're such a wonderful God. For your name's sake, amen. Amen. So thank you very much for coming, and see you soon.